Welcome to the show, amigos. Joining us today, we have Skip Haynes, and we're going to talk about the Orange Muppet and the momentum that the Orange Muppet is gaining week after week. So how do we stop him? How do we stop the Orange Muppet? Well, you make sure you go out and vote. And don't assume that the Orange Muppet cannot win the general election. We have to stop him. We have to get out and vote. And make sure to encourage your friends to come out and vote. We cannot allow the Orange Muppet to get into power. But before we get started with this interesting conversation, I'd like to remind you to check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/RobAguilarShow. And if you enjoy what we do here every week, every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Radio Free Brooklyn, that is a great way to show your support. If you have any comments or suggestions, shoot me an email at robaguilarshow@gmail.com. If you have topics you'd like for us to cover, if you'd like to be on the show yourself, reach out and say hello. So we have a fun and interesting conversation lined up. Stick around. You do not want to be left out.
From A1 Studios in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, New York, this is the Rob Aguilar Show.
Everybody wants a treat. Everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everybody wants to eat. Everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everybody wants to dance. Everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everybody wants a chance. Everybody wants a chance. Cause we're all here in the kitchen, and we're working side by side. We do all the baking, so we should all share the pie. Oh, everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everybody wants a treat. Everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everybody wants to eat. The fat cats, they got too much pie, yet the crumbs never hit the floor. They got more pie than they can eat, yet they still want to eat some more. Pie is supposed to trickle down, but I guess that isn't true. No one sent pie to my house. How about you? Oh, everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everybody wants a treat. Everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everybody wants to eat. There's only one thing I have to say. Something tried and true. You'd better not steal my pie if you know what's good for you. The pie belongs to everyone, not to just a few. So if you try to steal the pie, we're coming after you. Yes, we're coming after you. Cause we're all here in the kitchen, and we're working side by side. We do all the baking, so we should all share the pie. Oh, everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everybody needs a treat. Everybody needs a piece of the pie. Everybody needs to eat. Everybody needs to eat. Everybody.
Skip, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Robert. We're speaking coast to coast right now.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So we just heard everybody wants a piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of things, but what motivated you to write that song?
Well, I came out of the 60s. I was actually, I hate to say this, but I was in Chicago in 1968. And when at the Democratic Convention, when they had, quote, the riots. And I grew up originally starting as a folk singer. So there were a lot of protest songs. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I was just really upset with what was happening. And being a songwriter, I ended up writing a whole album of kind of protest songs. Nothing happened at that time since the political equation has changed a great deal since then. All of a sudden, these songs are viable. And basically, everybody, you know, wants a piece of the pie. Is my personal opinion is everybody should get paid for what they do. And so if everybody's helping to do something, everybody should share in that, which is not the corporate capitalist way of thinking. Not that I'm a socialist or anything, but it's like, you know, capitalism is basically everything for me and nothing for you. And I think it should be spread out a little more. So that song, and it might have even been President Obama, said something about a piece of the pie, because usually a comment starts you going on a song. So it might have been inspired by Obama, but I'm not sure.
He also said kind of like a catchphrase that people on the right kind of held on to when he said something about spreading the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't sit too well with people on the right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I'm from Chicago originally. The vote early, vote often city. And, you know, it was very, very Democratic. And there was a saying in Chicago that was kind of true, is when the Democrats are in, there's money on the street. And that's kind of where I came from. So I'm sure that something in the Obama campaign sparked this particular song, a particular phrase. But it's just about, you know, share the wealth, man. Don't be so greedy. You can be really greedy and still get good stuff done, but a lot of people don't, you know, the trickle-down theory and so forth. So that's kind of what that song's about, and I thought it'd be fun to do it reggae, and my partner happens to be from Switzerland and can yodel, so when we were putting the song together, he yodeled, and I went, oh, that's really cool. So now now we have a yodeling reggae protest song,
which is very unique and very catchy, so that gives it a whole other twist. I don't think those two styles have ever been put together like that.
Probably not. So that's kind of the general feel of that song. And it also, at the end, you know, I'm an activist. I'm very heavily involved in politics in Los Angeles, and I really like to get things done. And I think people, the whole album I wrote was called Hold Them Accountable. People need to be held accountable. When, you know, it's like if you're on the radio, you're held accountable. Like there's certain things you can't say on radio. I mean, you can say them, but you can get shut down for saying them, or you can lose your job. You're held accountable. Politicians in particular are not held accountable for anything they say. If they were, they'd be speaking differently and we'd have a different country. So that's my basic approach in general. I think people really need to be held accountable.
So what is your take on Bernie Sanders? I think by American standards, some of his views are radical. Now, radical here in the States, but some of the same philosophies and ideas that he's talking about have been proven to work well in places like Europe and many countries there. Do you think he's a radical?
No. I don't think he's radical. He's asking for common sense things. Whether or not they can be implemented, that's another story. And, you know, most people don't really know how politics works. You know, bottom line, politics, a politician from a dog catcher to the president is really only responsible to his constituents. So the only people that can really make a politician change their mind or do anything are the people in his district. He or she does not have to listen to anybody else in the whole world. They are bulletproof. So a lot of people don't realize this is what motivates politicians, and that's why it's hard to hold politicians accountable. And sometimes it's hard for them. You know, there's good politicians, too, on both sides. It's hard for them to get anything done because they have to go by the certain rules of their district or their constituency. So it tends to make it very difficult to change people's mind publicly. And a lot of people don't realize that. So with Bernie, you know, to me, he's like, you know, when the Occupy Wall Street movement happened, I actually tried to get a hold of those people. I knew some of the people that ran it in L.A. because I actually had kind of a plan where they could actually do something instead of just sitting around in a tent smoking dope playing bongos, which is pretty much what was going on here. But they had, you know, and yeah. I figured out something that you could do actively and still smoke dope and play bongos. So you could be having your fun and you could still be doing something. They did not have a head. That organization had no focus. That's why, unfortunately, it didn't do what it could have done. I think Bernie Sanders is kind of locking into that constituency. And I love hearing what he's saying. I don't know, dealing with city government in Los Angeles, I know that most of the things that people think should be done or can be done can't. You know, people have to learn how the actual process works, and then they would have a different approach. With Bernie, I don't know, you know, me, I'm kind of a nuts and bolts guy. I'm the guy that has to figure out how to actually do things. And I haven't heard enough from Bernie to figure out whether or not he's really going to be able to implement what he wants. Because he has to work with the rest of the Congress. You know, it's not the president, it's the Congress. Those are the guys that run everything, and you have to work with them. So I love seeing what's happening, but I hope he can pull off what the things he's trying to do once he gets in office, if he does.
Now, let's take it all the way across the aisle to the other spectrum of things and things on the right and their front guy, their front runner, Donald Trump. He's very appealing to a lot of people, and which I find him to be a very interesting character because of the things he says, because of the things that have occurred throughout his life. He claims to be a winner. He claims to be successful and to do things well, and nobody will build a bigger, better wall than he will. No one knows foreign policy better than he does. But when we look at his resume and we look at everything that he's done, he's got a long list of failures, which failure or failing a bunch of times isn't necessarily a bad thing. But people who have been successful throughout their lives, throughout history, you know, you take guys like Bill Gates, like Steve Jobs, and people like that, Warren Buffett, all these guys that have done important things in their life, all admit to failure. And what they take from failure, what they learn from it, helps them do better in whatever it is they do next. So failing is part of eventually becoming successful. But these guys admit to it. And say, yes, I failed. Yes, I did this. Yes, these things happened. But you take a guy like Donald Trump, who, let's look at some of the things that he's failed at. Trump University, you know, Trump Airlines, Trump Vodka, Trump Steaks, Trump Magazine, Trump Mortgages, Trump Casinos, the Trump Marriages that he's gone through, his board game, the Trump the Game, his bankruptcies, and, you know, let's face it, the hair is kind of like a failure as well. He's failed at all these things, but never really owns up to them. And that appeals to people. Why? Why, if he's such a failure, he appeals to people?
Well, my approach, I love Donald Trump. I mean, I love watching him. When I first started working, I had a nonprofit organization in Los Angeles called Citizens for Los Angeles Wildlife. I'm very involved with animals. So we started a nonprofit to, I was going to say advocate, I can't say that, to advocate rather than be a lobbyist. You have to register to be a lobbyist. So we were advocates. And the first time I walked, now my whole life has been rock and roll. Performing, music, writing, that's my life. And the first time I walked into City Hall in Los Angeles, because I live in the Hollywood Hills, I don't like going into the city anymore. And the first time I went to City Hall, I remember walking in City Hall going, what the hell am I doing here? And then after about 3.5 months of going down there at least once a week, I said, why am I so comfortable here? I was extremely comfortable dealing with politicians. And then I realized politics is rock and roll. And it's not only rock and roll, it's rock and roll on steroids. It makes the Rolling Stones in Cuba look like a kindergarten class. These are people that are messing with millions of people's lives. And everything in politics is performance art. When we go to talk to a council member in the city of Los Angeles, I go to a different council member that I know and I ask them, what should I say? Who, you know, and they'll tell me, don't talk about our council member because these two guys don't get along or do this or do that. It's all performance. When you go to hearings, it's all performance. Donald Trump is a master of performance art. And he's dealing with an emotional level. People are pissed off. They're, and I am too. The government is not doing its job. Obviously, corporations, you know, this is like a battle between, I believe, corporations and nations. We're fighting for our own nationhood with multinational corporations. And to see Donald Trump just work the crowd, doesn't matter what he says. The guy's bulletproof. Like I said, his constituency likes him because they think he's speaking street language. He's connected with the street, they think. I don't understand it because this guy represents everything that has put most of his supporters in the position they're in. You know, but it doesn't matter. They like someone they see actually telling the truth as they see it. So it's very hard. That's why the Republican Party cannot deal with this guy. And one of the things Trump had, at least at the start, was the fact when you don't have, when you're not working under any restrictions, meaning he can say anything he wants, anytime he wants, you can move very quickly. I mean, look what he did to Ted Cruz. Hey, he's Canadian. That's all he had to say. And Ted Cruz had to spend a week defending himself. Now, Ted Cruz couldn't do stuff like that because the Republican Party won't let him. They actually have standards and ideals they live up to. Donald Trump didn't have that. So it makes it very easy for him to maneuver quickly at the start of the game. However, in rock and roll, there's an old adage, the hype will only take you so far. And I think he's starting to get to the point where he's going to have to answer real questions. And he obviously doesn't know a lot of stuff. He obviously doesn't read. And, you know, and so I'm fascinated by the fact this guy has gotten as far as he has. But when he first got in the game, I said, you're going to have to watch out for this guy because the Republicans don't know how to deal with him. They're clueless. And it's very hard to deal with him because he can do anything he wants. However, if you notice, he's now starting to flip over and get more respectable because he's looking at the general election and a whole lot of people don't like him. You know, I personally don't know how you could vote for a guy like this. He's talking about building a wall. Well, that's silly. You know, all the cartels have to do is dig tunnels. They're digging tunnels now. A wall is not going to, you know, there's a way to secure the border. And I believe the border should be secured. But not building a wall. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And then he's going to stop people from sending money to Mexico. I mean, the things he's saying are so un-American. And a lot of them, I think, are unpatriotic. And I think a lot of them are really dangerous for our country. I don't understand why so many people are just love him. And that's kind of scary. The only thing I hope is enough people on the other side just go, we're voting, because that's the only way you're going to stop that. And if you look at history, it's pretty unsettling what he's doing. If you know anything about the Nazi Party and how Adolf Hitler came to power, you'd be very nervous watching what's happening with Donald Trump because it literally parallels. I'm not saying he's a Nazi, don't misunderstand me, but Adolf Hitler used the same tricks that Donald Trump's using to rally his troops. So I find it fascinating.
I don't think he expected to go as far as he's gone either. I think at times he's in over his head when they ask him specific questions about policy, about even building the wall. How are you going to finance it? And all he ever comes back with is, I am the best at negotiating. Nobody builds things better than I do and all that nonsense. So, but yeah, to kind of touch on what you said before, what is scary about the whole situation is when they show people going down into the crowds at his rallies, and whether it's a a news network going down there to interview people who are attending the rallies. They'll ask attendees what they like about him. You know, what do you like about Trump? And one of the things that keeps popping back is he's saying what we're thinking over and over again. So the scary part about that is that, you know, you mentioned the 60s. That was a very progressive time where I think young people had a certain unrest about civil liberties and the whole civil rights movement and women's liberation movement and all that stuff. Most people, I think, thought that we had kind of progressed from an era that was oppressive. And here we are, people in these crowds saying, he's saying what they're thinking. And these crowds are huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary to think that there are so many racist and ignorant people still left in America, where I thought at least that we had kind of left that behind and left it to the dark ages of our history. But he wants to make America great again, like those were the great years, and now it's not.
Yeah, I don't particularly understand that make America great again. What the hell does that mean? We are the superpower in the world right now. And we have been, and we spend more money on military than I think the top five economies together. I mean, it's like, what's not great? I mean, I don't understand that. And it goes back to accountability. He's not held accountable for his statements. Half of the things he said, if he said them in a bar, he'd get smacked. You can't say a lot of those things if you don't have a phalanx of bodyguards around you to take care of it, you know. And when people get violent at his rallies, that's his party. He's when I mean party, I mean the rally, the event. He is responsible for it. He wanted to be the party girl, so he takes the accolades, but he's responsible for keeping order. If he can't keep order at his own freaking rallies, how's he going to keep order in this country? He's not going to be able to do it. And it's his responsibility, and he's totally abrogating his responsibility. And no one's calling at it. And fortunately, the news media is pathetic. They are absolutely pathetic. The only persons that ask him hard questions, he comes back and attacks. You know, Republicans, when you watch them on talk shows, they all scream. They all yell. They try to bully you down. And I want to see some people on the left screaming right back at him. You know, and they don't understand. I mean, they wanted to come armed to his rallies. Well, that's crazy. I mean, if you go back, I hate to keep going back here, but you go back and look what happened with Hitler in the early 1930s. This is the same thing. I mean, you know, violence, use violent methods to subjugate people. It's like this guy is condoning it by not just coming out straight up and going, get those guys out here. You know, it's like when you're playing in a club and you see two guys come in. I was the front guy in the band, so I had to watch everybody in the audience to see what they do, because we never made up a set list. We knew the first song and the last song, and then we just kind of gauged it on the audience. When you see two guys walk in that are drunk and they're already starting to fight and they sit down at a table, you know they're going to go off in 10 minutes. It's your responsibility to either get someone in the club security to get rid of those guys or settle them down, or you're supposed to do it from the stage because you're controlling the audience theoretically. That's Donald Trump's responsibility, and he doesn't take it on anything. And if anybody looks at his record, how could they possibly believe what he's saying? But that's all irrelevant. They do. So go figure, you know, and it's just, it's like he, you know, the thing is, when I listen to him talk, say 95% of what he said is ridiculous and scary because people are believing it. There's always 5% in what the guy says that is dead on true in the reality of politics. For example, he made a comment about donations. I know from my experience, my experience in nonprofits, when somebody donates a dollar to you, they expect a dollar and a half back. There's nobody that gives a donation just because they like you. They're donating for access or because they believe in what you're doing and so forth. So I find Trump fascinating, but it's scary because he wasn't supposed to get as far as he got. And to me, that says he has a chance to actually make it to the presidency. And then he must be scaring the crap out of everybody all over the world. The other governments must be going nuts with this guy, because if he gets in, he's a loose cannon. You know, there, it's like there used to be a guy named Carlos Lader. He was a cartel leader, and he was so crazy that they ended up getting rid of him. The cartel, they ended up turning him in because he was just too crazy for these guys. And, you know, and Donald Trump is heading in that direction. And it just, the only, Donald's not scary to me. The fact that he has all these people following them, and you can see what kind of people they are. And, you know, these are all, you know, firearm toting, you know, pickup driving of a huge percentage of them. And then there's, you know, that's not the only group of people, but it's a heavy group of people, and they condone violence, and they condone, you know, and the funny thing to me, most of the people supporting him probably get more benefit from the government than other people, yet they're voting against their own self-interest, which I don't understand, but, you know.
That's the irony of the situation. I've heard a lot of Trump supporters talk about Bernie Sanders in a not so nice way,
right?
Where they got this idea that Bernie Sanders is about giving away free stuff. And I'm like, well, not necessarily, right? But they would probably benefit the most from some of the policies that Bernie Sanders would like to implement.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely.
And but they're voting for the other guy, or at least supporting the other guy. Now, you touched on something very interesting. How realistic is the possibility that he could win, that he could be our president?
Geez, I don't know, but what I'm looking at, you know, he uses threats and everybody backs down from him. We need some, you know, the left has to get some cojones. I mean, really, you have to stand up to people like that. You know, you see what happens when people stand up to Donald Trump. When he gets called, when he does something stupid, and, you know, like saying women should be punished. It's like, I don't understand how one woman could vote Republican, myself. These people, these guys want to tell women what to do with their bodies. And they go, oh, okay. You know, thank you, sir. May I have another? It's like, I don't understand it. There's not one woman that should be voting for a Republican, yet they do. You know?
Yeah. So there's got to be something mentally wrong.
Yeah, I don't.
With their supporters.
I'm sorry. I just don't. You know, it's like, and this guy's not promising to do anything. There's no examples of what he's done. All he talks about is I and me. He never talks about we. He's just starting to do that now because he has to flip over into the general election, so he has to become, quote, more presidential. I mean, the guy's against immigrants. His wives are immigrants. It's like, you know, this goes back to me to 9/11. It's like 17 guys who came from Saudi Arabia. How in the world did the Republicans end up thinking that it was the Iraqis' fault? They had those 17 guys on television for months. And it was like 17 Saudis and two Yemenis or something like that. There was no Iraqis involved. Maybe one, I can't remember. Yet everybody, because people are conditioned by the news. That's how they get it. And whoever runs the news controls how people think. So, you know, but people... And with the internet, you can find out all this now, but that doesn't seem to matter, you know. So I think, I hope and think probably he won't win, but he could. He absolutely could. I couldn't tell you what the Vegas odds are, but, you know, he does have a chance. You can't tell what happens in politics. You know, if Bernie Sanders got hit by a bus and Hillary did something wrong, he could... You know, something that got a whole bunch of disaffected voters to vote in such a way it would benefit him. It could be possible. You know, out here in California, what they're talking about now is that, because this is very staunchly Democrat land, especially in Los Angeles, San Francisco, they're talking about having Democrats vote Republican and vote for like Kasich just to take votes away from Donald Trump. You know, so it's like very interesting for, because for once, California is going to be very important in the voting process. Normally it isn't. It's the last, who cares? But now it's going to be the finale. So the finale is going to be in Hollywood. I think that's hysterical.
The whole thing is hysterical. And to think that the best that the Republicans have is Donald Trump. If I was a Republican, I would think, wow, you know, this sucks. The choices suck big time. As a Republican, who do you pick, or how do you pick a candidate between, if your choices are Donald Trump? Yeah, there's a third guy in there that nobody talks about.
Right, John Kasich. But
he's actually, I would say, intelligent. He's an intelligent guy.
Yeah.
He says weird things at times, like weird, inappropriate things. But I think it's just maybe because he doesn't know any better.
Right.
Like I remember a few weeks back, I think it was at a debate, and it was I can't remember who the moderator was, but it was a woman. And then he said something silly like, oh, you're very attractive. Are you available? And I'm like, it was creepy. Like, you know, it's like, like a creepy old guy who just doesn't know any better. Maybe he was just trying to be cool and smooth. I don't know what he was thinking. But out of the three, I think he seems like the most reasonable of the three. He's not a loose cannon. He has some very sane ideas for a Republican. And there's no way this is the best the Republicans have.
Well, apparently it is. Apparently it is the best the Republicans have. And God, what's the worst? You don't even want to know. You don't even want to go there. But, you know, I mean, I think bottom line is, Democrats have to get off their butts and vote. I really think that's about the only thing. Because Trump, now already, he signed those stupid pledges that the Republicans come up with all the time. Sign this pledge. He signed a pledge. You know, I sign a lot of contracts because of my business. And the one thing you know is a contract is not worth the paper it's written on if someone doesn't want to honor it. If someone wants to honor something, you don't need a contract. Trump already said, when they asked him, will you support the winner if you're not the winner? He's going, no. He's already telling them, screw you. I'm out for me. You don't like it? My people are going to rail. My people are going to riot. I'm going to form a third party. I mean, I think that's all part of democracy and it's cool, but that's a real message to you. You can't trust this guy. If you're blonde and 23 years old and Donald Trump suddenly decides he doesn't like blonde 23-year-olds, you're going to go down the crapper. He's going to come and get you. And that's the whole attitude. He doesn't honor what he says. He cannot be trusted. And I don't know how anyone trusts him at all. I mean, he just said he donated money. I was reading in the paper this morning. Turns out he personally didn't donate any money. He's a liar. You know, and people that don't have a lot of money donate more money than Donald Trump. But people are so pissed off at the government that anybody who talks like this to that particular group of people all of a sudden becomes very attractive. You saw how long Jeb Bush lasted, like a minute. He was gone.
Yeah.
So,
Well, he was low energy, according to, to Trump.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the thing is, I think it's the same people, same mentality with Bernie Sanders on the left as Donald Trump on the right. People are really angry at their government. Look at this Panama paper dump. These corporations, they do something that really infuriates me. I run into it all the time. It's called using the letter of the law to avoid the spirit of the law. These guys, the only reason you have offshore companies and you do all this is to save money, to not pay taxes, okay? Technically, you're legal. In the court of public opinion, as far as I'm concerned, you're a traitor. It's like a lot of people died so this country could become, quote, a stable business platform. that we have laws, that you have legal recourse, that we, you know, we have an army, we have an economy. None of these guys, you know, that started Exxon or General Motors or any of these bigger Monsanto or any of these corporations who are now all multinational, but they started because people died so they could have a stable business platform. So when they get wealthy and do something, I figure they need to give back. And by hiding your assets so you don't have to pay taxes is not giving back. I have to pay taxes next week. I'm going to work for an entire month for nothing because I had to pay my income tax. And we have big corporations that aren't paying anything. I want to see those guys hanging from lampposts. That's how pissed off I am. I mean, you can't do that, obviously. But I'm very angry at it. And that's right. What the people on Bernie's side and the people on Donald Trump's side. The problem is they're going for the wrong guys. They're going for the president. They need to be going for Congress. Congress are the people that run this country. And people need to be going after them. You know, I put that in all my songs. We're coming after you. That line is in two or three of my songs because I think government needs to be, to some degree, afraid of the population. They have to know that there's going to be a response or there's going to be a reaction to what they do. You know, I watch these people, you know, in advertising, I don't know, 10 years ago, Dustin Hoffman won a whole bunch of money because I can't remember. It was some very expensive shoe. It was an advertisement where they took an image of him out of Tootsie and used it in an advertisement. It cost them $1 million because he sued them because they didn't have permission and it wasn't true, whatever it was. Politicians get up and they say things that are not true all the time and nothing happens to them. Things need to happen to them when they do that. And the only thing that they're afraid of is we the people. And if we the people have a strong response, you saw how fast Donald Trump backed down after he stuck his foot in his mouth when he said women should be punished for having abortions. You know, bam, he got slammed. Well, that's what
he backpedaled quickly.
Oh, he got slammed. He said that was so stupid. How could you even think of having a guy that was a leader that would say something that stupid? How could he not know? See, there's also a thing. This also goes into rock and roll. I've done hundreds and hundreds of interviews in the last 4 years. And you have to be really, really careful what you say in an interview. Because when you're sitting in a studio, there's no windows usually. You're sitting across. It's a very intimate situation. You have to think about the people that are out there listening. And when you're on stage at a performance, you're running the show and everything's wonderful, but you better think about the big picture. And I don't think Donald Trump was thinking about the big picture when he made that comment. He was thinking about picking up a couple of delegates and playing to the people in that particular room. And he got a response that scared him. That's the only thing that scares politicians. The public has to become involved. You have to let them know. Like, there's an algorithm. I don't know what it is, but when you contact your local politician, an email counts the lowest on the chain because everybody knows anybody can be sitting on the toilet writing an email. It doesn't matter.
I do it all the time.
Right. The next thing that comes is a phone call. Now, a phone call tells a politician, a phone call, say, represents 500 people. That means 500 people are pissed off enough, so this guy made a call. If you actually write a letter, it goes up astronomically. So you have to be very careful when you're making statements. And, you know, Donald Trump obviously doesn't read or doesn't know what's going on in the world, because to make a statement like that, I don't know how a woman could ever forgive him for making that statement, because that's what he truly believes. You know, he wouldn't have made that statement if he didn't believe it. I could never make a statement like that because I don't believe in that. And I think it's horrific. You know, especially, I had to deal with something with my sister in the 60s, an abortion. And anybody that would even say something like that, you know, those are fighting words for me. It's like, so this guy's not very bright. He's not very bright. He's instinctive and he's a good entertainer. That's his thing. He's done it for years, you know.
Yeah. He should stick to reality TV.
Yeah, he should. Well, okay. Yes.
Well, this is kind of like, this is reality TV when you really think about it.
This is reality TV. This is the ultimate reality TV. And that's what it's come down to in this country. But I'm sure it's anywhere. You know, it's like you're peddling for votes. It all comes back to performance. It all comes back to performance and your audience. There's a way to make an audience do something that's in front of you, but that may not be the way to get all the rest of the people to go along with you. And it's a very delicate balance, you know. And he's good. He's good at performing. He's a great performer. But nobody's really called him out yet. No one has, you know, just drilled into him. So I'm kind of waiting to see someone who's really, Chris Matthews, I think, got him once, you know, but it's very difficult. So that's what makes it scary for me with him, because there's a chance that this guy could get in. And I don't know what he could do, but he would really disrupt. Although, you know, maybe it's the best. Maybe they do need to be shaken up like that. I don't know. But, you know, and nobody's looking at Congress. No one talks.
But regardless of how things play out, I think it'll be very, very entertaining either way.
Oh, yes.
Whether he makes it all the way. I mean, think of the possible scenarios. Let's say he doesn't win the nomination and he incites his people to riot. That will be entertaining. Let's say he does make it to the general election and there's debates with whoever wins on the Democratic side. Those debates, those confrontations will be extremely, extremely entertaining. And then the actual election day, whether a lot of political pundits, a lot of political analysts say that he would lose and lose drastically and would be completely embarrassed in a general election. He would lose by a landslide. Well, even that would be entertaining, you know, that climax where he's riding high on the waves and then all of a sudden he gets completely wiped out. So the scenarios are entertaining, and he is without a doubt definitely a reality star.
Yeah.
And this is all part of it. I wouldn't be surprised if there's film crews following him now and they release some sort of reality on all this that has been taking place since he started campaigning.
Yeah.
Now, Skip, where can people find you? Where can they get in touch with you? Where can they listen to more of your music?
At holdingthemaccountable.com.
Fantastic. And so we recommend everyone go check out Skip's website, and we're going to close the show with one of his songs. This one's called Hold Them Accountable.
That's it.
Skip, thank you very much. It was
a
pleasure.
Thank you very much. It was very enjoyable.
Is strangling the nation, cutting us off at the knees. Deregulation, a nasty sensation, a little more discipline, please. The companies don't do the right thing because they're rotten to the core. They steal everything they can, and then they steal some more. Hasn't anybody noticed? Hasn't anybody seen? We let them steal our country. We let them steal our dreams. We've got to hold them accountable for what they've done. The banks are tanking and we lost our ranking. Greed is the they lost our trust when the markets went bust. It's time to send someone away. They can't be trusted, so they need to be busted. We need to shine the light on dirty dealings, revealing a most unpatriotic sight. Hasn't anybody noticed? Country. We let them steal our dreams. We need to hold them accountable for what they've done. They didn't say they were sorry. They
didn't say they were sad. They said if you don't like it, that's just too damn bad. We need to hold them accountable for what they've done. They have to pay the piper. They have to pay the bill. They have to pay attention if they want to stay up on the hill. They have to pay the people. They have to pay their dues. They have to pay the country back because they work for me and you. Hasn't anybody noticed? Hasn't anybody seen? They tried to steal our country. They tried to steal our dreams. We need to hold them accountable for what they've done. We need to hold them accountable for what they've done.
You can walk in circles or hide in a crowd. You might as well be shouting out loud, or you can speak in whispers. It doesn't matter what you do. You'd better watch what you say. Someone's listening to you. We know what you think because we know what you say. There's nowhere to go. You can get away. You can even hide out on Electric Avenue. It doesn't matter. We're electric too. You better watch what you say. Someone's listening to you. We listen to you in the dark of the night. We listen to you in the morning's light, to the ends of the earth and underwater too. You better watch what you say. Someone's listening to you. We know what you think because we know what you say.
What you say.
There's nowhere to go. You can't get away. You can't even hide out on Electric Avenue. It doesn't matter. We're electric too. You better watch what you say. Someone's listening to you. Thoughts in your head, and you got no secrets. We know everything you do. You better watch what you say. Someone's listening to you. We know what you think because we know what you say. There's nowhere to go. You can't get away. Avenue, it doesn't matter. We're electric too. You better watch what you say. Someone's listening to you. The conversation is ours, you see, because that's the way we want it to be.
there's nothing you can say, there's nothing you can do. You better watch what you say, someone's listening to you. You better watch how you pray, someone's listening to you. You better watch what you say, someone's listening to you.
Thank you. my conscience calls science, but that doesn't really matter right now. You know why? Because I'm gonna speak my mind. That's what I do. Like, word up. Like, I really don't care what you say. You know, a lot of people don't understand us, but then some people like us and they want to join us. I really don't know, but they make just some what's up.
Back in 88, people rappers had to registrate. Nowadays, they only rap so they can get paid. All I do is spit real, so call that word up. So many girlies losing it, no virgins. Now they hurting with a burden, cause life ain't the same no more, and that's for certain. Now who that, now who black, people saying the M.I.C. can't really rap. Or I throw these bars, not talking Donovan. Well, I go real far tracking, let's begin. Yes, I be sagging, but who's really bragging? I do it cause flip it around and think about it. But words are so hot, they turn into static. Drastic measures, we always have to take it. If you ever run up on us, prepare to make a date, cause M.I.C. don't play in near this ricochet.
Word up, word up, word up, word up, word up.
Okay, I speak my mind.
Word up, word up, word up, word up, word up.
And most don't like it.
Word up, word up, word up, word up, word up.
They can go eat some lines.
Word up, word up,
yeah.
Word up, word up.
No silence.
It ain't the balance. Why would I waste the talent? Make the crowd sit. So bang the mallet and I bet I still maintain my grounding. Make the sound of, a thousand angels shouting. Do whatever else, no, but that's my favorite sound. I'm doper than narcs, evidence. My bars forever win. And my words are useful like a smart president. I bar medicine, cause it suppresses emotions. If they went in my mind and then I let it be open. And when it's severed and broken, you'll find pleasure and focus. And you'll cleverly notice I set the record for hopeless. I'm better than most, but the world is too ignorant. It's not the fault, it's from generations of bitterness. Black kids in the suburbs, put your hands up. Can't tell that girl you love her. Put your hands up, those without a father figure. Put your hands up, those that are lost and bitter. Put your hands up. Word up, word up, word up, word up, word up.
Okay, I speak my mind.
Word up, word up, word up, word up, word up.
And most don't like it.
Word up, word up, word up, word up, word up.
They can go eat some lines.
Word up, word up, word up, word up, word up.
No silence.
You know those people that be putting you down.
Yeah, a lot of talk smack, but we hooking them now. Look at the crowd.
Yeah, I bet they regret dissing us. Hey, ladies and gents, it's been a privilege
serving you. Thanks for joining the craze. Give us a chance, you'll be enjoying the shade.
Thanks for joining the craze. Give us a chance, you'll be enjoying the shade. Word up, word up.